Blog Talk Radio.
The views, opinions, and statements made by callers are not necessarily the beliefs of the Professional Association of City Employees, PACE, the National Association of Government Employees, its officials, agents, or employees, the union. This show is for the purpose of airing opinions, concerns, and general commentary among PACE union members. The views expressed are solely those of the caller and do not automatically represent the policies, position, or view of the union and may not be construed as legal advice. Greetings, everybody. Top of the day to you. And I'm sorry that we had this little glitch, but things happen. As you know, things happen when you're dealing with technology and this new 4G stuff that's going out. And maybe when we get to that part of in the future where we can get some support, where we can get some real radio equipment in here. But right now, we're doing the best we can to bring you the current news, the hot topics, and all that good stuff. Top of the day to you. Welcome to Radio Connections with PACE. I am the host, Gina Pagnotta Murphy.
And I am the co-host, Ebony Walton. But I got a, you said this is not the best radio equipment. Is that what you just said?
Let's start getting some little donations. What do you call it?
Sponsor? Yeah, exactly. Let's
straighten
that up. Listen. Okay,
I'm with you.
Okay,
with
this ain't no Apple computer.
But you're, okay. But we're doing the best we can. You're doing a wonderful job, Ebony, as the VP for our union, and thank you so much for all that you do. Things do happen, and unfortunately that happened for us today, even though we did a trial run.
Yeah.
But thank you, listeners, for coming back in. We see you. And hope that the ones that we lost would come on back in. But even after the show is over, it's always on the internet.
Exactly.
I mean, on our podcast the link, you can go in and just listen. So we're going to start it over.
Okay.
So I wanted to share a little sad news today. On February the 8th, Mary Wilson of the Supremes passed, and she was one of the original members of the group. And I also know that understand that she was a co-founder of the group. Didn't know that. But rest in peace, Mary. She was 76 years old. We also had an icon that passed on January 28th, 2021. That's Miss Cicely Tyson, 96 years old. She lived a wonderful life as well. So let's give a shout out to those two wonderful women right here in Black History Month. Unfortunately, you know, they're not going to be with us in physical form, but in spirit, and we love you and miss you already, and say prayers to the family listeners. So speaking of Black history, I would like to give a personal shout out to my sorority, Eta Phi Beta. I talked to you about them a little while, but we kind of missed the deadline for you to come on board right at this quarter, but the next quarter I'm going to be hounding you.
Yeah.
But we're a group of businesswomen which was founded by 11 African-American women whose vision was to promote higher scholastic standards, personal growth, career awareness, and to provide opportunities for community service. The sorority was incorporated in 19. It's a nonprofit business, and the women attended Lewis Business College in Detroit, Michigan. And can you imagine back there in those days, in that year, those women being as strong and as professional as they were? Can you imagine how it was, you know, could have been?
And helping each other out.
Helping each other out in the community. And helping, you know, the other women, young girls that come up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're interested in ever becoming a member, it's Eta Phi Beta Sorority, Inc. You can go and Google it, see what we're really all about. And you can always call and reach out to me, and I'll give you more information on who to contact.
Okay,
so we got another shout-out I heard you talking about this morning. What's your shout-out?
So we have the two candidates running for mayor that we know of currently.
Okay.
The present mayor, Keisha Lance Bottom, is running.
So she put her hat in as well.
She put her hat in, and also City Council President Felicia Moore.
Oh, well, that's a round of applause for them. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Pretty kudos to them. So that's going to be a very interesting. Well, I can't
very
wait to see who else is going to put their head in.
I've been hearing some other names, but I won't speak on it because I'm
not sure. Yeah, because we don't want to put something out there. We like what the bloggers call receipt.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not bloggers, but
this
receipt, you know, but the truth. We don't want to put nothing out there unless we have facts.
Yeah.
So kudos to them, and we'll keep an ear and eye open and keep sharing with you guys on what's going on in that race, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely going to be interesting.
we won't be like, we won't be fake news. We'll be giving out the real news,
the real deal.
As everybody knows me, I give out the real deal. Okay. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask. Okay. So for starting off our show, ladies and gentlemen, for the listeners, we have our inspiration as we always for each week we talk about. And today I have the inspiration called Common Sense Leadership. And let me read a little bit before we get into that, what it's all about. Common sense doesn't seem to be that common today. People are suing fast food restaurants for serving hot coffee, but you want it hot. And they have warning labels on your hair dryers warning you not to submerge it in water, which you should know that already.
You should. You think so.
Warnings on knife packages that the blade is sharp. Didn't you buy it to cut? So wouldn't you realize that it's sharp? So common sense has taken a backseat to idiotic behavior, though. Clear thinking has left the building.
Yes, it has.
We learn from Proverbs that wisdom and discretion are what is needed most in this world, especially in these times right now.
That's true.
These things bring life and grace. If we but practice clear thinking, our lives would benefit much more. Mm-hmm. And we need to focus on doing things that make sense. To think before you speak. And we need to make common sense common again. Which brings us to our topic today, common sense leadership.
Common sense.
What you think about that?
Common sense is exactly what I think of it. Like you said, we're not running from what seems common to you may not be common to someone else, right? And let's give an example. We have, during one of our meetings, as a supervisor, we have a situation where you have an employee that's tardy several times, right? In a month, in the course of a year. And then I was told, well, if that employee is tardy again this particular month, it's just going to be unexcused. How? That doesn't make sense to me. If they wasn't tardy this whole month, but this following month coming up in February, if they are tardy because of their past 6-7 months that they were tardy, maybe 5 times total, now if they're tardy again, I'm supposed to mark them unexcused? It doesn't make sense.
Is that common sense, or is that just want to be not following the rules and guidelines of progressive steps of discipline?
It could be, or is it that they don't know the rules and guidelines?
And that's the problem.
It is.
But sometimes good leadership exercise with common sense. And that's the whole if they have it.
If they have it. We're going to assume that they should have it, but seeing the actions and getting all the phone calls, you know, a lot of people are not acting as if they do have it.
So the thing is that what we need to do is to ensure that the Department of Human Resources with the labor management team get some training to leaders and managers all the way up to new people coming in on the higher commissioner level on, you know, and stop saying it's the city way and start looking at our policies and procedures.
So let's shout out real quick, Rodney Evans from HR.
Okay.
So he came down to have a meeting with us on our admin team, the supervisors and the manager team to ensure that we all are aware and know how to use our PIP, the PIP, the personal improvement performance, which is very good. You cannot put that employee on a PIP for what's relevant, what's not relevant.
Right.
So I want to shout him out for that because that helped. I had another supervisor call me this morning and said that was just an eye-opener for her to see that, listen, these are the policies and procedures. And this is what we. What?
These
are the policies and the procedures that we have in place, and this is what we're going to follow.
Okay.
And that's what it is.
Okay.
I don't know how and why we get away from it, and we want to create our own. But like the Muni Code is the citywide code.
Right.
That's the big umbrella. That's the Bible.
Right.
Then in each department, they have created their own
SOPs. Which is supposed to be called PPBs.
Okay, and they call them their SOPs, or if maybe some call them that or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a discrepancy between what the employee thinks or the employer and that SOP, then it should trump back and go to the Muni Code.
Well, the Muni Code overrides everything.
Exactly.
And we got to be fair. There's some gray areas in the Munico, which I have been asking for many, many years with HR, and I would love to be on that team. Shout out to the HR Department of Human Resources. I would love to be on a committee to go through those Municos where it has to deal with employee relations and disciplinary actions to fine-tune all the gray area. See, that's what's hurting the city leadership and the gray area. So at this point, we don't want any more gray area. You want 1, 2, 3 ABC. This is what it is. Now, you have some exceptions to rules that can come. You might can, but you don't break the rules. There might be some exceptions, but you got to know the clear, concise of what to do next. And that's what's missing. So in that terms of an employee, like, for instance, you were talking to me the other day, we were talking about you were saying something about the PIP, and we had a meeting.
Exactly.
And we're going to let the callers get in, too, and see if anybody have anything to say on that. But I wanted to just put this out there first. If you learn the progressive steps of discipline, and once you know that, and you don't try to target anybody, you got to, as a leader, you got to put your personal feelings aside.
Yes,
go by the codes, the Mooney codes, and know how to handle your team and be willing to compromise and be willing to have common sense.
Yes.
And I say that because if you know you have a person, an employee that's habitual tardy, you don't have to jump over the progressive steps of discipline because you don't like them and you're ready to get rid of them. So you want to jump over certain things because the union is going to have their union member and they pull us in.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see that. And we're going to back you up.
Exactly.
As far as the employee,
exactly,
whether they right or wrong. And we're going to challenge leadership that, hey, you just broke some rules. So if you follow the progressive steps of discipline, because guess what? If that employee is a habitual late person, no matter what you do, they're going to be habitual late. So you can just wait them out, but as long as you're doing what you need to do. But as a quality leader, you need to guide them through counseling. You need to give them, check and see what's going on with them, especially during this pandemic. See what you can offer them to help them, if it's feasible to change a schedule if that's a problem, or send them to EAP because they're having some issues, or anything creative that you can do to help this person. But you're giving them an oral, you're giving them maybe another written oral, which stays in your supervisor's file for a while. It doesn't go anywhere. And if they continue to do that, then the next step is a reprimand, which stays in your personnel file permanently. But that should come through HR to make sure that you dotted your I's and crossed your T's. Then if they still having this issue, that's when I, in my opinion, you have a PIP, a performance improvement plan. Now we're getting ready to document exactly what you need to improve in and giving you official time to do it. Because now it's official that I'm saying that you are failing in these areas to do your job, that we need you to do your job in, and we're going to give you this amount of time to perform better. And if not, if you fail this PIP time, then we're going to go to the next step, which is called an adverse action. Now, that adverse action can cost you your money, or it can cause what they call days in the street,
mm-hmm,
with no pay,
mm-hmm,
or it could cost you your job. So that is, in my opinion, and actually how PACE actually does this in the progressive steps of discipline.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. You went through the oral admonishment.
Mm-hmm.
You went through a written.
Yes, it can
reprimand,
be written.
Mm-hmm. Then a regular reprimand?
No. See,
okay,
that's
so,
where you
okay.
got to stay on target with the verbiage, because now, according to the code, you can give up to 2 oral admonishments. It's really,
mm-hmm,
up to,
exactly,
but it's the severity of the discipline, okay?
All right.
But the first step is an oral admonishment, one-on-one. Call you should be doing one-on-ones with your employees anyway. But you call that person in and say, we found you, you're not doing so good in this area right here. This is what I need you to do. What can I do to help you? And that's just a conversation to let you know that you've observed some discrepancies.
That's
now,
the oral. Right?
That's an oral. That's
okay.
a verbal. That can be a verbal.
So with that, let's stop there. Let's mm-hmm. go. We want to go into detail because common sense is not too common.
Yes, it is.
So that's your verbal and oral. We're discussing. This is what we're seeing. This is what we would like you to change. Blah, blah, blah. Write it down. Put it in a memo that employee signed, that you signed, and it just stays in that supervisor folder, or is that something we don't notate?
Okay, at this point, it's up to the supervisor.
All
you
right.
can do a verbal,
okay,
which we're just talking like me and you right now.
All right.
Or you can do a written verbal, what they call a written oral or written oral admonishment or written warning or this and that.
All right.
I myself as a supervisor leader would like to talk with my employee first,
mm-hmm.
have a verbal conversation, let you know this is what I'm seeing, which I call one-on-one. This is where I'm seeing that you're not doing so good at, and you're breaking the rules, and this is what I need. Is there anything you want to discuss with me, but you got to do better, or we might go to the next step of progressive discipline.
But that particular, that part,
mm-hmm.
no documentation whatsoever is needed or required because this is just a verbal.
Well,
or do you think that documentation
well, I,
is required?
Well, if there's nothing right then that I would document other than my notes and my supervisor. I have a supervisory note.
Okay.
You always keep up with your own notes.
Mm-hmm.
So you refer back to the date that you had this conversation.
So what if that employee, since they didn't sign anything, if this is just us talking, but you never shared that with me. But outside of a verbal conversation, because we have an employee
mm-hmm.
that might have a challenge,
mm-hmm.
and you say, well, no, on this particular date, we did discuss X, Y, and Z, but they have no recollection, maybe, and then since it was not documented, we just had a verbal.
No, so then at that next step, if they continue to do the same offense, now I'm going to write it.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
going to call the employee back in.
All right.
I'm going to write out on oral admonishment. And then and then denote the date and time that we had a one-on-one
all
verbal
right.
communication
okay.
from my notes as a supervisor notes
mm-hmm.
that on this date I talked with you in my office one-on-one about this
mm-hmm.
and you're still failing to do what we suggested or what you're supposed to do. So now I'm putting it in written form, which is a written warning that you're required to sign, or if you don't want to sign, that's fine. But it's going to be written and it stays in the supervisor's file of the employee for some, I like to say 90 days because it shouldn't take, you know, depending on what the severity of it is, but some places have 6 months, some places have 1 year. To me, 1 year is just too much. I think the sworn people mm-hmm. are doing that, but I think we'll get somebody in from the sworn side or on the line to talk about that. But I wanted to clear that up before we go to the callers, that on the civilian side of the house, it should be 90 days. And after 90 days, if they have not improved, then it goes to the written reprimand. Now, the written reprimand is still denoting that they have not changed. If you did an oral with them, if you did a verbal with them, that needs to go through HR to make sure that you dotted the I's and crossed the T's, and then that stays in the personnel file of that employee for the duration for the rest of the year. So after that, if they still are failing, that's when they go to the PIP. So at this point, you know, it's up to the employee to improve.
Okay.
So what do you think about that?
I mean, it sounds
logical.
What's
going on?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to the line. I think we have a caller on and see if we can get Mike Williams from. He's one of our regional reps for the Union of Pace and IBPO. He is at the police officer, but I can let him, once he comes in, let him engage and give us his thoughts on that.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. How are you all?
We're doing great.
We are good.
Good to hear your voice, Mike.
It's good to hear your voices. You all have a radio show that needs to be, what do they call that, franchised or something? I love it.
Oh, well, that's what we're talking about. We can get some what do you call, sponsors. We
yeah.
can get a little better
exactly.
quality going on here.
One more time about this better quality.
Glad to have you on the air. Can you tell some of our
Thanks.
Listeners, our members out there, what's going on your side of the house as far as this PIP and disciplinary actions, and what do you do and how do you do it for us?
Well, like you said at the beginning of your opening, wisdom is just not common, and common sense just isn't common. And what I would add to it is the feeling of camaraderie and wanting to do something good for your employee isn't common either. A lot of employees practice bullying tactics to get their employees to do whatever it is that they're supposed to do, or simply because they just don't like them. So these days, employees need to be aware of what the rules and the guidelines and the SOPs and are so that they can guide themselves through their careers with the city. Because if one thing for sure, the employee himself willing to work for himself and be positive for himself, he at least has one person on his side. You can't always depend on your manager to be on your side. So you need to keep track of the things. You need to keep track of the things that you're getting written up for, and you need to keep track of those conversations that your supervisors are having with you, because they just might be going back into their office and writing that down and documenting the fact that, well, I talked to him or her today about that, and the next thing you know, you're being brought up on a PIP, and they go back and say, well, you know, we've been talking to you for 6 months about why you didn't do so-and-so, so-and-so, and you never did.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
So do you think the PIP should go through HR before is delegated from the manager or supervisor to the employee?
Or any disciplinary action?
What I've seen with employees who go through PIPs, if it's managed through HR, at least you have a person there that doesn't have an investment on either side, doesn't have an investment in trying to be friends with the supervisor, doesn't have an investment in trying to be friends with the employee. They're just there like a referee to make sure that things are done fair and properly. Exactly. So, yes, I would say HR needs to be involved.
And so, as you know, that PACE has a tend to try our best to have a good working relationship with labor relations on the aspect of we can come to the table and talk to them about the needs of the employees out there that can't speak for themselves. And we also have you guys, like you and the other regional reps and our assistant council person our council legal advice for PACE to help the members to get through that, you know, because you know, and talk on that a little bit about members that can call in and they're very upset and they're scared and they're being bullied and how can we help them, Mike? Give us a little bit of what PACE and what you do and your colleagues do for us.
Well, what we do is we act as that person in between you and your supervisor before it's gotten to the point where we're dealing with write-ups, we're dealing with suspensions, and we're possibly dealing with the proposal of that person being fired. So we need you to call us as soon as possible when anything happens on your job that's going to your money, that's going to affect your days off, that's going to affect your evaluations. We get so many calls from people about their evaluations, and it's at the end period, not at the beginning. The beginning of your evaluation is the day that evaluation is opened up and you sit down with your supervisor for a coaching session. Supervisors aren't having coaching sessions. They're just opening up these evaluations on employees without explaining to the employees what is expected of them. These things that are expected of you at the beginning of your evaluation need to be your support at the end of the evaluation. But what's happening now is that's not happening. The reverse is happening. And supervisors are using the evaluation to give employees low marks. And it's unfair.
It's totally unfair. It is. So what we're going to do is telling we're going to send out emails or PACE alerts, letting them know about the wine garden rights. And, you know, we've done this several times, but, you know, our employees that's in the field a lot. A lot of times they don't really read their emails, which, you know, they should, to see what's going on, or call in to the union office or call in to one of us or their stewards. And we're going to send out to about their wine garden rights today. And can you expound a little bit on that, Mike, what that is for employees and the members?
Your wine garden rights means that you have the right to have representation if you feel like there's a situation that you need representation for. Also, if you're giving a statement to your employer, that's a mandatory statement that your employer is requesting of you. The Fifth Amendment does not apply in that case. So when you're giving these statements and you don't have representation by, I'm going to say PACE, you are exposing yourself to later on being written up on charges for something that your supervisor has brought you in to have that discussion about. You have the right to have a representative there, whether it be a representative from PACE, which I would prefer, of course, or a peer rep, so that somebody can be there to support you, somebody that can be there and tell you what the rules and regulations and the guidelines are. So, the Weingarten ensures that you have the opportunity to have a rep there.
Absolutely. And I want to make sure that the members who are members of PACE, even if you're called to write a statement, which is mandatory, and let the leadership and commissioners and all of you folks out there and the legal team, PACE is not saying that the employee cannot do a statement, but we're asking to allow them the opportunity to talk with the representative before they submit a statement. And that's important because sometimes, even though you tell the truth, whether it's wrong or right, but you may say something, and like you said, we don't have common sense leadership with some people, may take what you're saying out of context and make you the victim or the perpetrator versus the victim. And so that goes a long, far way. So when people like you, Mike, as a rep, that comes up and look with them and talk to them about it, you know what to tell them. Well, you may not want to say it like that. Not saying that you're saying they can't tell the truth. But so, you know how that goes. You're a police officer yourself. You know how it goes. Talk about that.
Right.
Throw that badge on the table, Mike.
That's a long story, Gina. But, yes, we're not there to tell you how to lie, but we are there to tell you how to express the situation, how the circumstances ended up bringing you to the table and you needing to make a statement. Sometimes people will say, or they'll refuse to make statements, or either they'll even hold back information because they think they're hurting the person who's asking them the question. That's not hurting the supervisor. That's really playing into the supervisor's intent to write you up for disciplinary action. We step out with you and we talk about, let's sit down and tell me what happened in this situation that ended up bringing you to this point. And you'll be surprised how often it is you were involved in something and the thing that started had nothing to do with you at all. But since the supervisor didn't ask you that in your questioning, you don't know to add that to your statement. Just this morning, we had a case where it has to do with apparel and communications. The way the young lady measured her dress, and they have a guideline on how short their dresses can be, she used her hand to measure the distance of her dress, which has been appropriate up until now. But until we actually sat down and talked about it, that wasn't going to be part of her statement. So we're there to advise you on what it is that you need to say in order to support yourself.
Okay. I appreciate you, Mike. Is there anything else you would like to say?
I would like to encourage everybody to give Gina all the support she needs. She is truly the face of PACE. And people who come with you with great heart and belief in the things that they do need to be appreciated for the fact that that is the way they come. And these two ladies that you're listening to on the radio are 100% for their members and the people that they represent.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. You know, I'm tearing up. I really get accolades. I appreciate that.
She is good. Now, I do have one question for you, Mike. As for supervisors and managers, what advice would you give them when it comes to disciplinary actions with the employees?
As far as supervisors and managers, just be fair. And I don't want to say it's easier to write up someone when you've given them all the chances in the world, but let's just be godly and honest with this. Don't bring in your personal feelings, because we can always tell when a supervisor is bringing their personal feelings into a write-up of an employee. And we're going to work our best at making sure you lose that one, because personal feelings don't belong in this issue and at work. We're just trying to get there, of course, to earn our living and go on about our business. It's not personal.
But thank you
thank
for
you.
Being on
thank
our podcast,
you.
Mike.
You.
And as always, you're a wonderful rep. And we appreciate you.
And
you're
welcome
day.
Anytime.
Welcome
Thank
to
you.
Come in anytime. I hope you can still stay on and listen to the rest. And if not, you stay safe out there.
Thank you very much. And you ladies do keep doing the good job. Like
okay,
John
thank
Lewis
you.
Said, keep fighting the good fight.
All
thank
right.
you much.
Okay, we're going to go to some other calls and see if anyone else have anything to say. Once your line tells you you're unmuted, you can go ahead and speak. Your line is unmuted. Do you want to speak? And if you don't, that's fine. Okay, we're going to go to another caller. If you want to speak, that's fine. If you don't, it's going to let you know when you're unmuted. If you want to speak, you can go ahead. Hi, you want to speak? Okay, we'll go ahead and continue on.
All right. Well, we got all flooded this morning. I appreciate that. So you guys are going to learn about disciplinary actions. You heard from one of our PACE reps to tell you, pretty much give you some insight on where we're going with all of this. I will be sending out an email PACE alert to the members and some, maybe some flyers about your wine garden rights. And just to let it make it clear so you'll understand, if you called into a meeting and this meeting, because a supervisor, manager, whoever has the right to talk to you about your work performance, but if it becomes to the point that you feel uncomfortable that it could be something else leading into a disciplinary action or you were snowballed into this meeting, they don't have to offer you representation, but we're trying to build a relationship through HR for all of the HR people that's in these meetings to offer that. It's up to you to know to say, I want to have my union rep present. So we're asking you to make sure that you do that. Step out of the meeting. You can stop the meeting. Contact one of us. Text us. Call us that you need a union rep. We'll normally call in and try to reschedule it, or we'll try to come in on a virtual
yes.
or through the phone. So you have that comfort to know, because I've been getting a lot of calls where immediately I have to step in 15 minutes on a call. They put me on speakerphone, which I think is so unprofessional. But because the management team has not contacted HR because they're blindsiding the employee, as Mike was saying, and calling them in for one thing, and they get in there and it's a whole, they got paper serving on them. That is so wrong, and that is not common sense leadership. Because like Mike said, then we're going to be coming after you. As far as the leadership for not doing the right thing, and then it negates the whole issue, even if the employee is wrong. And so that's all we're saying. Don't be so quick because you don't care for someone or your personalities or whatever. Go by the code and be more sympathetic. In this day and time with the coronavirus out here, people losing lives, family members are losing lives, people are sick. You've got to have common sense. Have some humility. Have some humanity about what's going on. Don't be so cruel. I mean, we're doing business a whole totally different way right now. So to me, the way that we govern things is totally different right now. So let's not be so quick to try to be brazen and bullying and doing all of this, because at the end of the day, you want to go home where you can sleep in peace. And one thing I would like to say to supervisors and managers out there, do not call an employee and tell them on a Friday, I'm going to meet with you on Monday. Don't do that. Please stop it. Stop it. Because that puts that person in an anxiety mode to worry about what it is
the whole weekend,
destroying their whole morale. And it may not be nothing, especially the ones that don't want to tell you what it's about. Don't do that. I'm asking you not to do that. Be transparent. Be straightforward. And you can talk to them on a Thursday. Why you got to wait till a Friday? So at this point, if you want to talk to that employee because of some type of what they're not doing, just be courteous and say, hey, I need to talk to you about this. You're welcome to have a union present. It's not nothing about, just be transparent. I'm not writing you up to put you in the street. I'm not trying to terminate you, but I do need to talk to you about something that you're not doing work, doing this and doing that. And if you want to talk to me one-on-one, fine. That's what I want, but you're welcome to have a union rep. What is it going to matter? How is that going to hurt the supervisor or leader? The ones that it bothers is the ones that are not doing right.
And usually that's how it is.
And they need to stop.
Yeah.
Like Mike said, he can tell right off if
you
it's
can.
A personal issue.
You definitely
soon as
can.
They open their mouth. And yeah. I'm going to call you out. And see, people call me the pit bull. I'm not the pit bull. I'm
you're
the face
pit bull.
Of pain. I have pit bulls that work for us. And so, you know, you want me at the table before you want Mike and Anna and Rita.
Yes.
Let's just be
yes.
real. You want me because I'm going to look at both sides. I'm going to try to be fair. Mike, Rita, and Anna are going to come at the dies dotted and the T's crossed, whether our members right or wrong. If you didn't miss the target, we're coming
exactly.
after that.
Exactly.
And then, you, like I said, and then the whole situation is no longer fruitful. So just take your time, supervisors and managers, and discuss. If you're not sure, it's okay. It's a better leader to call and get advice. You're to try to do something on your own and you find out you're completely wrong.
It is. And for the employees, what would you say? Because the employees, on some certain instances, you have employees that are good employees. You don't have many problems with them. But then you have employees, I wonder sometimes why some people come to work or why you have this particular job. If you're home more than you're at work, that's not a good thing. That's your whole thing. But you don't be home, whatever your reasons are. If you know any type of job, this is what keeps your work flowing. This is what keeps food on the table. If you need your job, come to work. If there are situations where you can't come to work or you have extenuating health issues or something, do it the right way. Get your FMLA. File your paperwork for you to be out of work for the right reasons and not just calling out because you just don't feel like coming to work. Or, and again, I understand with the pandemic, we have issues and people have problems coming to work because it's too much. I know even within the center, we've had, January, December, for the past 3 months, 10 cases of COVID. So, of course, sometimes you have the anxiety of not wanting to come to work. However, at the end of the day, the citizens are going to be calling 911. Those lines are going to be holding if we don't have the proper staffing. So don't make the job hard for your employee, for your for your supervisors, employees, for your
right
co-workers. Don't make it hard for them because the less person that's on the phone, the more that we have to answer.
Right.
So, and then I think what made the news on yesterday. Did you see the news on yesterday?
Well,
so in Buckhead, they put it, the 311 director sent me the email. It was a Buckhead call. Mm-hmm. A kid was being, he was left in the car. The father left the child in the car, which you should not have left the child in the car, but he left the child in the car. And there was a male trying to carjack it, take the car. The kid got out of the car, ran to the store, but they was on hold for 911.
Oh, wow.
So that's an issue. I mean, we're short staffed at the center. I don't know about any other departments in the city, but I know we are definitely short staffed. We can only answer one phone call at a time. So if all the operators are on the phone, then it is going to be some calls that go unanswered for an extended amount of time. It shouldn't be that long, but until they get the other calls, and then you have Grady, you have to hold on the line for Grady, you have to hold on the line for the cab. So I'm just saying for the employees, you have legit reasons not to come to work, and that's fine. I understand that. But if it's just you just not wanting to come to work, just come to work, do your job. If this is not the place for you, wherever it is in the city, if that's not the place for you, don't waste anyone's time nor your own time.
Well, speaking of that being fair, we do have a small percentage of employees that are just not going to do the right thing.
Exactly.
We do have a small percentage of employees that tries to buck the system.
Yep.
But overall, we have vast majority of employees that want to do the right thing, but we don't have the common sense leadership to guide them to continue to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Because if you got good leadership, those small percentage of the ones that's bucking the system or just not doing the right thing, there's ways in the codes to handle that.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And if you're not doing what you need to do as a quality leader, they're going to get over on you as well.
They will.
So we do encourage employees to come to work. But let me say this. I'm very sympathetic about this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very sympathetic. I am scared to death of it. That's my phobia. I have a phobia. People have phobias. Oh, Lord, back up 12 feet, not 8 feet. But anyway, you know, people have phobias like spiders and stuff like that. I have a phobia because I've been in a pandemic before, not telling my age. It's no joke. So I'm more sympathetic with the people like in your situation in 911 when they call in and say, I just need a mental day. Okay, common sense leadership. If you're a good leader, you know what that person is asking for. They might not say, I'm calling out sick. They just say, I need a mental day. Meaning to me, you don't feel good. You can't do it. I'd rather for you to do that and just because you're being transparent and honest. And let me tell you some of the analogy with mm-hmm. that. In the military, I'm ex-Army.
Mm-hmm.
In the military, if you're a paratrooper that jumps out of airplanes, they're telling you, if you ever feel that you're afraid to jump out of that airplane, you could have been jumping out of that airplane for 20 years. And this particular day, you're not feeling this jumping out of that airplane. You need to let your commanding officer know. They will not let you jump out that airplane because it's a sixth sense that you're just not feeling it. Your mental state is not there. And I'm leading this back to your center.
Mm-hmm.
If a person calls in and says, I need a mental day, you know, they could just say, I need a sick day. But at least they're being honest.
Yeah,
I'm not sick. It's not COVID related. I just need a mental day. Let that person take the day if they got the time. If you're now trying to catch up and want to throw a reprimand or put them in the street, send them home with no pay, that's your fault.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, and another thing about sending them home with no pay, you need to go through HR before any supervisor or leader or manager sends someone home with no pay.
Mm-hmm.
In this pandemic, we can't be sitting around sending people home with no pay, and you don't have no progressive steps of discipline till they get to an adverse action where they're getting some days or suspended for some days. You don't just come to work and say, oh, you're late, you're going home, and you're not going to get paid. That's a no-no. We're going to come, the union is going to come after you with that.
Mm-hmm.
People need to be paid. You have discipline, policies, and procedures to handle employees that's not doing what they need to do. It's not your call to say, go home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just 911, it's in sanitation.
It's
all over. And speaking of sanitation, you guys are having a lot of issues with people being tested with COVID. Sanitation is really hitting.
So what are they trying to do with that? I mean, how do they work with each other?
Well, the point is right now, this is what I wanted to say with the union. I would love for you and I, if we could get with the Public Safety Committee, have an ad hoc meeting, a committee, to come up with some ideas to work with them for 911. How can we make and retain people? How can we help them out? Like I asked for the plexiglass, for the, you know, HR saying that they're looking into it. I want it done like right now.
And it should have been, we've been in this pandemic for a year.
But again, common sense leadership.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not talking about anyone in particular. I'm not trying to say that they have idiotic leadership styles. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying all of that. But if you have common sense and you're thinking about your employees, that's something that should have been automatic. I've got to keep my employees protected as much as possible.
So let me ask you about thinking, since we're speaking about that, with officers and then you say your sanitation people that drives trucks, how are they maintaining within the vehicle? So if you have they have to put the perks in the back or the and nobody's guilty until proven guilty,
right?
Whatever, instant until proven guilty. But they have those people in the back. Are they wearing masks, or is they are they having partnered up in the vehicles?
Where you know they got petitions.
They have those in the back.
They got them in the back, and the officer should be wearing their mask.
Yes.
Now, if it was me, if I'm getting ready to arrest someone, and they got their hands behind their back, they're getting masked. But I, you know, that's a political thing.
I don't know if you can put a mask on.
You know, but if it was me. You no longer have rights
because
you're being arrested.
Yeah.
So guess what? I'm going to put a mask on you.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a box of masks in my car.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody comes up to me and don't have a mask on, I give to talk to me, put this on. Here you go.
Yeah.
And so if that was me, that might be something that they can look into at public safety. We can bring to their attention. Don't know the legality of that.
Because even with officers, I know when they put people in the back of their cars, I've heard officers say some people defecate in the back of their car. It's
So my point to that, and for the listeners out there, if there's anybody from the public safety on the line
mm-hmm.
here, and we bring that up, write that down. If I just thought of that idea. Don't know the legalities, we'll check it out.
Okay.
But, if you are being arrested, whether you're guilty or not, they're arresting you. That's waiting for the judge to find out, whatever. But once you get those handcuffs on you, You are, you have, Lord knows I would never do that.
But you
have no rights, in my opinion, at that moment.
You don't, at that moment.
You are under custody.
You are.
You are under the custody of the police or the Atlanta police or whatever.
You are being detained by them. So
you're
their property.
They read their,
exactly.
Whatever their render, whatever
the
render right. And so now I'm taking you to an incarceration. Now you're following my rules.
Exactly.
So my rules to get in this car, you're getting ready to put on a mask. So I'm going to have a disposable mask while you're handcuffed. I'm going to place it on your head, face for you.
And they might. I don't know. They might do it. I don't know
if they do it or not, but we're going to find out. And that's a suggestion.
Yeah.
And another suggestion for the sanitation truck that people that ride together, I've even asked, what could we and how could we put partition at least between the front driver and the passenger, you know, a divider, a transparent, clear divider.
And if they're sharing cars, they're supposed to clean themselves
the cars and put a tag. But we don't have that. This is all suggestions that patients made, but there's nothing in black and white writing.
And that's what it needs to be.
And that's where it needs to be.
Because who knows who's cleaning these things? And how do you know? So if I get them behind you in your vehicle, how do I know that you clean? And then I'm supposed to clean it, too.
So half of them, you know, not even doing the time you drop it off, and the next person get it, supposed to pre-trip, just see the lights working, the brakes working, the wheels looking good.
Now they probably don't do that much because handling their calls all the way up until the end of the watch.
Well,
you don't
what
have
I'm
time.
Saying is, it before pandemic came, half of them weren't doing that anyway.
Yeah,
because when you know, I've seen some police vehicles, because I'm not knocking police, but even some trucks on the street, and guess what? I stop them. They look at me like I'm crazy. I stop them, and say, did you know your headlight is out? You know, you need to take it on over there to 1370 Howe Mill, get that light replaced. If it's a truck, the same thing.
Exactly.
I will stop them. And then the police officer look at me, and I flag them down, you know, and I said, excuse me, officer, can I see your driver's license? Your tail light is out, blah, blah, blah. So that lets me know they ain't pre-tripping.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing, not just with APD. That's the same thing with civilians, with the workers in the field with their trucks, their pickup trucks. So these are some things that we need to talk about. I would love to get on the committee with you and the public safety committee.
I would love to.
I would love to get on the commissioner of Department of Public Works, Mr. Robinson, the deputy COO. He's asked me to look out because I made some suggestions to him about sanitation, you know, what I think that they could do. So he's putting us on the project to help him find and make some suggestions that he will look into. So we're working on that, too. I'm going to get back with him with that.
Okay.
So, you know, these are all the things that the union does for that. And so speaking of the union, now that we put all of that out, and all of this information, if you can tell your colleagues and your coworkers, if they didn't have a chance to hear us live, they can always go back. Ebony, tell them how
they can go back on the link that was emailed out to them, and they can just click on a link. Once you click on the link, it will populate. Also, we have a website, which is paceatlanta.wixsite.com. And the link to the radio show Block Talk is also within that website. And also within their website, if someone is not a union member, you can become a union member. Yes. You can ask questions if you want to put anything out for the next show or you have some issues within your department that you want to discuss. We can always talk it up, put it on the table, and see what ideas we can come up with. We're not legal or anything like that, but we can give you some ideas
or refer
you guys to someone else, to our legal team. But if you are not a member, I do encourage you to be a member with the union. I've been a member
it's
been a couple of years now, and I can't say anything but good things about the union since I've been in. I kind of jumped in and you just brought me in.
I brought you in.
You brought me in fast.
Be careful what you ask for. You said, what can I do to help?
That
what
was
can
it.
You do? And once I heard what you can do, you hit the floor running.
And
we had another member that sent me an email last week that asked, they like to be more participant. What could they do? And
yeah.
I asked you to add her on to
mm-hmm.
our board listing. So if you were something that you want to step in and do to help us out to get this thing going, it's a good thing that Ebony came up with this idea and said, how do you feel about being on the podcast and this and that? And I love it. And so I'm getting a lot of accolades for this, for us to continue to do the best we can to get this information out. We're going to have some, we don't know when all of this stuff is going to, when we all come back to work. So this is a good avenue for you to hear what's
exactly.
going on. Now, I also want to share with you, we're speaking about the union. As you know, PACE is an affiliate with NAGE, which is National Association of Government Employees. And that we also, NAGE is affiliated with SEIU. And because of that, NAGE has scholarships, and we have, they give out 500 to 100 students are awarded $500 NAGE scholarship. And you need to have these applications in before May 14, 2021. And they have a way to click on the website so you can fill out the application. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and send this out, email out with
okay.
all of this information. We're going to post it in our website. I'm going to send the website link,
mm-hmm.
the podcast link, into another email to all of our members out there. Put it on a flyer and have the stewards post it
okay.
so that folks can see it. And so we also, NAGE has now what they call Quincy College. And they, this is something new for us. I am a national executive. I'm a national executive of NAGE, one of them, 15 of us. But it is called Quincy College, the virtual open house. You learn about programs available to you and discounted tuition benefit for your family members and you. So I'm going to be sending this out. And information sessions are available during lunch hours and after work. So it's going to be February the 8th, which was today. But yesterday, but we have one coming up on February the 11th. So I'm going to send that out immediately this evening so you can see. If not, go to NAGE.org, www.NAGE.org, and pull it up and check out scholarships, how to apply, and Quincy College, how to apply. And it's also, we will be sending all of that out on the website. There was one thing I wanted to talk about real briefly about the FFRCA. Hazard cop
okay.
time accrual. When we had our meeting with the Department of Human Resources team, and I like to give a shout out to them too, because that was
good.
You had the opportunity to be on that meeting, and we got really engaged,
mm-hmm.
and I really are proud of that relationship that we have built to be able to have the time of the commissioners, which is the deputy and the commissioner of HR and the labor relations director, because I know they're very busy. But to be able for them to reach out to us to have carved out a time is very wonderful and exciting to have, because
mm-hmm.
then we can get face-to-face and
exactly.
see them, not no circle. We actually see the face,
mm-hmm.
and we can talk about our issues, and they come back with some solutions and suggestions, and I love it. It's called labor management, and that's what common sense leadership is about,
exactly.
to have meetings with your labor and your management team so we can roll out things that we're all concise and on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed about the FFCRA, or RCA, I got to get that right, hazard comp time. Now, we don't want to get that mixed up with regular comp time back in the day when you earn.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you got to pay for essential workers that earns this with that $500 hazard comp pay that stock. But the comp time, we're not getting in no more earnings on that either.
No.
But the $500 right now, month to month, we still are. But the comp time, the hazard comp time, doesn't go away. However, what I did not know and just found out through our meeting, this is why it's important to have information that I'm sharing with you, is that if something happens that you quit, retire, get fired, God forbid, terminate, whatever the case may be, that FFRCA hazard comp time that was given to you, you get paid out, I think was it a third or a quarter,
one third
of it.
Mm-hmm.
However, here's the caveat. It's by the department if they have the budget to do so. It's not mandated that they have to. If their budget allows them to pay you that, you will. But if you have comp time, regular comp time, And vacation hours, it is mandated in the code that it has to be paid out in full. So here's my thoughts and suggestions to these members. And it will say that it is an option. Didn't know that either. That if you call out sick and it's not COVID related, you can have the option on your leave form or tell your supervisor that I would like to use my FFRCA versus my regular sick time.
Okay.
Or vacation, the same thing.
You can use that.
You can use that. So here's my thing and theory to it. It is up to the employee. But because there's no guarantee
that it's gonna be
that, is, that you're going to get any money off of it, use that time.
Use it now.
Use it now. Use it as much as you can. I'm not saying go out there and stay gone and all this.
Please.
I'm talking about, let's make it clear, use common sense.
Because they
okay?
will.
Common sense employees, where we're talking about when you really are sick and it's not COVID-related, and you just don't feel like you want a mental day and you're just taking a sick day, or you want to take a five-day week and it's approved, your vacation, opt to use your FFRCA time versus your approved vacation.
So real quick, for comp time, if you for, to use your comp time.
Which
I know
comp time now?
Your regular comp time.
Okay.
Your comp time that you, after you work and you earn or get some a certain amount of comp time, depending on how many hours you work. So do you have to put in, whether it's 24 hours to use that comp time, or can I use that comp time? Today, I just don't feel like going into work. I'm having a lot going on or whatever. I'm not feeling, I don't feel well. Let's say
okay.
I'm sick. I'm really sick, right?
Okay.
And I want to use my that comp time.
Okay. You can use your comp time if you're sick or anything. It can't deny you sick time. And you can tell them, I'd rather prefer to use my comp time. Now,
exactly.
Now remember, let's stay on the actual what we're
regular
talking
comp
about.
Time. Regular
you're talking
comp
about
time.
Just regular comp time.
Not the FFR,
in lieu of where you decided to work overtime and you didn't
exactly.
want overtime, you want regular comp time. Mm-hmm. You can use your regular comp time or you can use your FFRCA comp time if you call it in sick.
Okay.
If you're taking vacation, that, of course, needs to be approved in advance.
Okay.
And then you have the ability to tell them which pot you want to take
even
that
for
out.
The vacation. Okay.
But it still needs to be approved for
all right.
vacations. You can't disapprove sick time, and that's another thing that we'll talk about the next
yes,
week about sick time and using common sense on dealing
yeah,
with that.
That's another issue.
With sick time. So we'll write that down for the next show that we'll talk about some instances on sick and how do you handle that and going forward with that.
Okay. Well, Gene, look,
everything that we had on that. And did we miss anybody that suggested that we talked about? We talked about the wine garden rights with some
exactly.
employees that asked about.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely talked about the disciplinary actions, and we talked about the scholarship. Ooh, breaking news.
What?
I got breaking news. Look, I just found something. Hold on, people out there. Mary Norwood is running for Atlanta City Council District 8. Just
really?
Got this on my email.
Really?
How about that? Oh, this is getting ready to be very
really?
Interesting.
But she don't want mayor. She wants to
she
be
wants, she's going to run for Atlanta City Council District 8. She says, I am delighted to announce that I'm running to return to the Atlanta City Council.
Mayor,
as your next councilwoman, I will place a strong focus on public safety, city services, and neighborhood zoning.
Now,
we're
going to end with that.
Way to go, Miss Mary Norwood. Okay, that was breaking news. So we reached out. We're going to send out the email to everybody about the website, all the information you need about the Nade Scholarship and the Quincy College. We talked about our common sense leadership. We might do it again on part two next week because the sick time and all that still falls
exactly.
under
exactly.
common sense. Leadership, and we talked about all the things that we need to talk about. So, in closing, is there anything you would like to say?
I want you guys to stay well, stay abreast to what's going on, be vigilant in all that you do, and always strive to do more, to be more, to be better. This is 2021. One thing before we go, we did have our kickoff at last week.
Oh, yeah.
We had our kickoff, which was very positive. We had a nice video made by yours truly.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, it was very, very good. It was very, it was just very positive, real positive for 2021. And I mean, just like I tell the people that I work with, try to be better than you were yesterday. Do more than you can do. if you can do more, do more. Always learn. Always learn. Always. I'm always reading. Not because I just like to read. I just, and I'm not talking about pleasurable books. I'm just saying self-help books. Always just stay in the know as much as you can. Things that I don't know, I can care less with football. But other things, you know, I'm fine and I'm in my realm of knowing. But always try to learn something new, something better.
And one other thing, I noticed a Band-Aid on your arm.
Oh, my gosh. We should have gone. We're leaving.
Did you get your second shot?
I did. But I got my second
is,
COVID shot.
You wasn't sneezing and having coughing before you took that shot. I just brought that to your attention. You've been up here sneezing and I'm super bad.
That's my allergy pill, okay? Every day, every show we have, I have allergies.
Okay, I'm going to be watching you on this shot.
But no,
congratulations and kudos to
you. It was fun.
For being strong. It makes me feel safer that you've taken that precaution to help save and try to stop this virus. So for all those who are strong, we'll like Ebony Walton, go out there and get your vaccination to help us, people like me with the phobia, to stay well and heal. So in closing, I would like to do a little prayer because someone asked me, you know, why don't you love this to an inspirational something? So your higher power, whatever you feel, just listen. Father, help us to maintain clear thoughts and to practice common sense. Let us not go the way of foolishness, narcissical people, but give us wisdom and discretion so that our life may be fuller, richer, and better. Amen. And take care, you guys. And remember, we're here every Tuesday from 1 to 2 with Radio Connections with Pace. You all stay safe. Have a safe journey this week. Until the next time, bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Have a good one. Be safe, everybody.
All those essential workers who had to get up every morning to put food on the shelves, go to the hospitals to provide health care, those people worked. And they went out there and they exposed themselves to the virus.